This is the Military and Veterans Affairs Committee. And I'm taking the place of Carl Goddard, who's gone on vacation. No, he's gone somewhere. Anyway, Madam Clerk, could you call the roll, please?
What?
You want to call the roll?
We're just not there.
Call the roll? All right, we do have Representative Kawasaki's here. T. Wilson's here. Rambo's here. Bob Book's here, and you're here, and I'm here. So we have a quorum to conduct business?
I don't know.
Today, we have...
You're all here.
You know, today, we have before us House Bill 334. And you want to make a motion to adopt this CS for purposes of discussion?
I'd like to make a motion that we adopt CS for House Bill 334, Working Draft 26 LS 131O/E.
As a working document?
As a working document.
Beautiful. Any objections to that motion? No, they're seeing none. Then we have that working draft before us. And before us, we have Ms. Casey, who's here to explain the changes from the original bill. Casey, for the record, you want to introduce yourself and begin your testimony, please.
For the record, Casey Schroeder-Hotch, staff representative Thomas. Do you want me to explain the changes first?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. The first change is on page 2, line 25, and it does not allow a military member to designate visitation to a family member who has a history of domestic violence.
Okay.
The next change is on page 4, line 10. If there's a court order in place because of a domestic violence issue, the non-deployed parent does not have to notify the deployed parent of a change in address. They just have to notify the court.
Okay.
And then the next change is page 4, line 20, which is the same thing about designating your visitation rights to somebody with a history of domestic violence. You can't do that.
Those are all the changes?
Yes.
Mr. Speaker.
Do you like them?
Yes.
Okay. Representative Rambis.
Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I see that the bill sponsor is in the room, and I'd really like to hear from him as to what's the purpose of the bill.
Oh, you want to hear what the purpose of the bill is? You care about that. Okay, Representative Thomas, do you want to say a few words? You're cluttering up the view up here. You know, I'm just going to make it short, if you would, please.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Representative Thomas, District 5, I want to thank you for hearing the bill. This is an issue that I was talking to several staff that it's kind of a personal thing. I was in the military, so was Bob, and so many people. And to see men suffer over child custody was an issue. And so when this came up, I said, I want to make sure that they don't have the additional burden being in a combat zone fighting over child custody and who has the child and who doesn't. So this is, Mr. Speaker, Mr. Chairman, that's a real reason why I'm involved in this, along with Colonel Huggins.
So basically, Representative Thomas, they can't use the courts or whatever for child custody purposes, can't use the excuse that you're on active duty or you're whatever to hold your child away from you.
Exactly. And it's one that if you've been around the military, that it's always one if you can't see your children because you're gone, or if you come home, they're gone. I'm just concerned. I want to make sure that the mental mind and stability of the soldier is correct. If he's not, he might as well shoot him before he gets over there, because he's not going to be any good anyway. And I was joking with my staff upstairs. I've seen what Dear John letters do to people. Now I think child custody is one step above that. And the stress is too much, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Ramos.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Okay.
No, you want to ask any questions?
Oh, no, I'm just... Mr. Speaker, all of us in this body know how much Representative Thomas cares about soldiers and who are veterans and are active duty. I'm just delighted to hear you express a little bit of honest sentiment as to what this bill accomplishes, and I admire you for it.
Thank you, and I'll let Casey do the rest of the talking. She does have a brother who's in active duty, and she's cuter than me. She tells me, you know, it is me, you know. But, so she does a better job, too.
Okay, Casey, we made light of it, but appreciate the work that you're doing on this, and appreciate the work Casey's worked with our office over the years on a number of fairly significant pieces of legislation, so we owe her a lot. So continue, Casey. Anything else to add to the
Mr. Chairman, I can go over some of the high points of the bill if you'd like, or I also have a three-minute video if you think you might have time, which might explain the situation a little bit.
Does anybody want to watch a three-minute video?
I would, Mr. Speaker.
Okay, let's play the three-minute video. Can I see it right there? I don't have to turn around, I guess, right? It's pretty fancy. I remember when you didn't have anything up there.
Yeah, I don't know.
She said nothing about hearing it.
Is it muted?
Yeah.
You've been around a lot of shooting. Maybe you couldn't hear it, right?
He in
here.
Huh? Though.
You've been around.
Okay.
Caught me.
It's
not working.
No, it's not working.
Well, we'll make it a 30-second video, and we just saw it, so thank you very much. No, the issue again, Casey, when you want to just... Your boss explained a little bit, but you want to just kind of go over the basis of the bill again real quick?
Our active duty members in reserve and National Guard members have been serving more over the past 10 years, and they have multiple deployments and things like that, and that's putting a tremendous strain on the family unit. And so the divorce rate in the military is rising, and as a result, judges are more frequently faced with the position of having to balance deployment issues with child custody issues. And House Bill 334 just gives the courts a guideline on how to balance those issues. And there's about five high points that I can go over with the committee if the committee wishes.
Sure, why not?
First, it requires that the court not use deployment when determining child custody. That's not to be a factor considered. It affords the service member a right to an expedited hearing so that they can get matters taken care of before they're deployed. It also allows a service member to delegate their visitation rights to another family member who's had contact with the child so that that child can maintain contact with his or her side of the family. It provides guidelines for temporary custody orders so that they can, if they have custody, they can sign custody over to the other parent and know that when they come back, that's a temporary order and the order will expire 10 days after they get back or notify the other parent. And it also allows for electronic testimony where the parent's not able to appear in court in person. And that's the change to Rule 99. The prevailing thing here, though, is the best interest of the child. That is the prevailing guideline. So none of this is going to happen if it's not in the best interest of the child.
Okay, any questions? Representative Ramos?
Mr. Speaker, I'd just like to go on the record to saying that, I represent Fort Wainwright. It is my district. I've represented them now for 6 years. I've been through two major deployments of 4,000 troops. We have an elementary school, Arctic Light Elementary, that's located on post. I've been to that school quite a number of times. The children, many of them are the sons and daughters of not only deployed soldiers, but also E-2 and E-3 soldiers, in which case often the children are eligible for free or reduced lunch programs. So there's a difficult socioeconomic element that is often the case. And then overarching all of those things, Mr. Speaker, there have been soldiers that have been lost whose children are attending that school. And there is a trauma and an emotional tension that exists amongst the children and the parents, on that military base. So I'm very appreciative of this bill and the sponsor for bringing it forward and trying to address one of these problems, because it is for the civilian community. Excuse me.
Keep going.
No, I'm really serious.
I am.
Just give me just a second here. Sorry. For the civilian community, the point is often not so punctuated, because civilians are not on post with a great deal of frequency. Veterans are, like Representative Lynn and others who use some of the services, but the soldiers are often far from home. We just separated a former Fort Wainwright soldier and his wife, who was involved in domestic abuse, and he was beating her and the three kids. and they're thousands of miles from home, and it's remarkably complicated to take young people thousands of miles away from home and then to put these kind of burdens on them. It's a serious issue, and so this bill, I just want to make sure that we're reading into the record that this is a very significant what we're doing to try and address some of the deployed and active duty soldiers and what we're trying to accomplish with this. So I applaud the sponsor and the intent of this bill. Thank you.
It is a very serious subject. Okay, let me go online here real quick. Can I go online to take some testimony? You okay with that?
Yeah.
Okay. Is Mark Sansui? Mark, are you online?
Mr. Speaker, I'm online. Mark Sansusi.
Mark, can you, you already identified yourself, but just who you're affiliated with, and begin your testimony, please.
Yes, sir, Mr. Speaker. My name is Mark Sansusi, and I am the regional liaison for the Northwest for the Department of Defense State Liaison Office, operating under the direction of the Undersecretary of Defense for Personnel and Readiness and the Deputy Undersecretary for Military Community and Family Policy. Our mission is to be a resource to state policymakers as they work to address quality of life issues for our military families. Also, as a retired Air Force officer myself, I want to thank you for the opportunity to submit testimony today on House Bill 334 relating to child custody and service members. In an environment where the divorce rate among military unfortunately continues to climb, many divorced service members have custody of or visitation rights with children whose other parent is not the service member's current spouse. Many of these service members who are deployed away from their family find that states do not consider the unique aspects of military service when making custody decisions. These absences due to military service can undermine and disrupt existing arrangements, creating stress on parents and children. And as Representative Thomas just said, without contact with their children, deployed members are frequently devastated. It degrades their ability to focus on their mission, and that is what we need. The inequities cause such stress that this year, this issue became one of the top 10 key issues affecting military families for the Department of Defense State Liaison Office to focus on in all the states. Although the Department of Defense believes the welfare of the child is paramount, it also believes that the demands of military service should not abrogate the parents' rights. The department, like the American Bar Association, thinks the states, not the federal government, are in the best position to balance such inequities and believes there are several protections states could enact which would serve both the parents' rights and the welfare of the children. The policy put forth in the language of your bill 334, as you've already heard, addresses all five areas of concern relating to service members and child custody. It prevents the courts from considering absences due to deployment as the sole basis when making custody and visitation decisions. It allows for expedited hearings or the use of electronic communication so that deployment does not prevent a service member from participating in court hearings. It supports the reinstatement of the custody order after the service member returns from deployment and allows for the delegation of visitation rights and visitation during periods of leave. Mark Sullivan, who is an authority on this area, is also online to testify, and I think, not to steal his thunder, but he's going to tell you that the bill in front of you runs circles around the bills being entertained and used by other states, since he is like a national authority on the issue. We believe these protections will superbly assist in addressing the unique aspects of military service when balancing equities involved in decisions about child custody and will strengthen state policy in this regard. With the substantially increased and continual activity of our armed forces around the world today, many states are recognizing the need for statutes which protect the rights of both service members and their children. At present, 32 states have passed laws that address some aspect of the difficulties facing parents who temporarily must give up custody of their children or who must forego visitation when called to take up the burdens of the nation. And when I say 32 states, some aspects, not many of them have all five provisions as you have before you. 12 states just this session are now actively considering legislation as we speak. We wish to thank Representative Thomas for sponsoring and thank you for the opportunity to submit testimony and look forward to Alaska's leadership in adopting these vital protections for our service members. If you have any questions, I will be happy to try and answer them or get you information you need. Also, since I'm not the attorney on this, if anything technical that might be attorney-related, I will defer to Mark Sullivan, who comes up after me. Thank you, Mr. Chair, Mr. Speaker.
Mark, thank you very much. Are there questions? Well, you're going to get off easy. When you said you weren't an attorney, you made it easy on everybody. Okay, Mr. Sullivan, are you on?
I'm here.
Mark, you want to identify yourself and your affiliation just for the record and begin your testimony, please.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's rare when you hear an attorney say, I represent no one. But that's true here. I'm a family law practicing attorney in Raleigh, North Carolina. I'm a retired Army Reserve JAG colonel. I'm the former chair of the Military Committee of the ABA Family Law Section's Military Committee, and also the former director of the North Carolina State Bar's Military Committee. I authored a book called The Military Divorce Handbook, published by the American Bar Association, and I've been working in the last 3 years with 15 different states to assist them in passage of military custody and visitation statutes. I was just appointed to the Committee on Military Custody and Visitation of the National Conference of Commissioners on Uniform State Laws, and I wrote our own statute in North Carolina, that's General Statutes 50-13.7A, on military custody and visitation. So I am truly the outsider in this. I'm a fly on the wall, and I'm here to report on your proposed legislation, which Mark Sansusi has shared with me. I also testified in the Senate. In that regard, I can tell you that your proposed statute is 10 times better than ours here in North Carolina, which I wrote. The similarities have to do with not considering a parent's deployment in determining custody changes, delegated visitation rights, expedited hearings, electronic participation in hearings, and mandating the return of the child within 10 days after the end of the deployment. However, yours goes even further than ours by not allowing the absence because of deployment of a service member to be used against him or her as a waiver of rights to be with the child in the absence of an express waiver to that effect. By requiring the non-deployed parent to make the child available to the service member during periods of leave from deployment. By requiring the non-deployed parent to facilitate contact between the service member and the child. By mandating that the deployed parent give timely information to the non-deployed parent about the leave schedule. And by immediate notification by the non-deployed parent of any change in address or contact information. I am simply amazed at how much better your bill is than our statute. I applaud your hard work in drafting this excellent piece of proposed legislation. And I want you folks to know that I will be pointing to Alaska as the leading state in protecting children of service members, as well as their parents in uniform, when I meet in April with the Uniform Law Commissioners to talk about what the states are doing. I hope to assist you in any way that I can to facilitate passage of this bill, and I thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk to you as an outsider and to give you my own perspective on how well this bill fits the needs of our mothers and fathers in uniform. Thank you.
Mark, thank you for your testimony. Are there questions?
Mr. Speaker?
Representative Rammers has a question, Mark.
Just a comment. I don't know that it's a question. Mr. Speaker, we all know that Alaska has a special relationship with its military. And most of us have been to an NCSL or a CSG meeting and recognize when the state of Alaska is the 34th state or the 28th state to adopt a certain piece of legislation that is making its way across the country through state legislatures. So I just want to, again, recognize the work of Representative Thomas and Casey and Senator Huggins on the other side that this is an opportunity for Alaska, who prides itself on its relationship with the military, to lead amongst all 50 states in setting the proper tone and looking out for soldiers and their families.
Very good. Are there any other comments to Mr. Sullivan? Representative Wilson.
I just want to tell him thank you. Anything he can push us forward. I don't have either military base in my district. I sit between Owlsman and between Fort Wainwright, but we have a lot of the soldiers that live there, and actually my house ends up being a pretty good hangout for them, and they're in their 20s and they're going over there, and it's hard enough to be over there and away from their children, but I've actually seen a few cases where this has been used and where this will help, so those will have one less thing to have to worry about, and it's nice to see a good thing happen, and I think it will put a lot of people at ease. Thank you.
Okay, next, we have some folks in the audience. Let's see. Is there anybody else online? Is that it? Just those two? Okay, we're going to have McHugh come up. McHugh Pierre, representing the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs. McHugh, welcome to our illustrious committee.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. For the record, McHugh Pierre, Deputy Commissioner, Department of Military and Veterans Affairs. And we have worked very closely with the Veterans Caucus staff, with Representative Thomas, and also his counterpart in the other body, Senator Huggins. Our JAG, our Judge Advocate General, has worked very closely on helping to make sure that we meet the needs of the Guard, the Reserve, and the active duty. And I just want to thank everybody for hearing this and helping to take these loopholes out of the law that will really ease our members' minds when they are deployed. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
You're welcome. Is there anybody else that wants to testify? Want to testify from the court system?
Just here for questions.
Are you in favor of the bill?
We're neutral on most bills.
Neutral on most bills? You want to testify?
I'm Jean Michelle, the legislator.
Okay. You can testify if you want.
Just here for questions.
All right. You want to testify? You're just here representing Charlie? How about you in the back? You want to testify? Okay, good. Can I have a motion then?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
I would move CS for House Bill number 334-26-LS1310 /E with attached fiscal note, if any, and individual recommendations.
Are there objections? Any comments? Seeing none, then the bill does pass from committee. It will move along to wherever it goes next. And members, please sign the report. And we are adjourned. Mr.